This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. America's sweetest industry creates jobs and provides a sustainably produced food ingredient. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Georgia farmer Zippy Duvall next. Did you know that the price of sugar for American households has recently been 5% lower than in other developed countries? In the U.S., 11,000 sugar beet and sugarcane farmers produce sugar under some of the world's highest safety, labor, and environmental standards. These hardworking Americans support more than 151,000 jobs in over two dozen states. They maintain a reliable domestic supply chain and contribute over $23 billion to the economy each year. American sugar companies pay fair wages and offer good benefits to their workers, including union jobs that are vital to rural and urban communities. The sugar program is the safety net for sugar producers in the Farm Bill. It has strong bipartisan support in Congress and is designed to cost the taxpayer nothing. The current sugar program provides flexibility to allow for a reliable supply throughout the year and to accommodate imported foreign sugar required under our trade commitments. Weakening the sugar program would lead to greater dependence on unreliable foreign suppliers, costing us, American farmers, good-paying jobs, and domestic food security for this essential ingredient. For more, visit the American Sugar Alliance at sugaralliance.org. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. Members of the American Farm Bureau are on task developing their state and national policy proposals for 2024. At the top of the list is an updated Farm Bill. AFBF President Zippy Duvall isn't giving up on action this year and says Congress needs to do their job.
I agree that the legislative calendar is very tight and the opportunities for getting it done before the end of the year is difficult and would take a miracle. But, you know, I do have a lot of admiration for our new speaker. Out of all the topics that he could speak to after his election, he chose to say that Farm Bill is high on his priority and they're going to get it done in December. So we're pushing hard to get it done in December. Now, there is talk about an extension, a pretty wide talk about extension, and that's not – we don't oppose that. We would support that if they can't get it done in the legislative calendar for this year. But we are going to push hard and let them know the urgency to getting it done in the first quarter of next year. It would be irresponsible for them to push it forward and not give certainty to our farmers and ranchers as to what a new farm bill would be. And it makes it very, very difficult for our farmers to continue to do business without a new farm bill. So we're going to push hard. We're not going to give up. And we're going to talk about the urgency of it.
Last week on this program, Congressman Costa from California said that nutrition cuts or changes in the IRA funding were just non-starters for he and for Democrats on the Ag Committee in the House. Your delegates, though, in Puerto Rico said this is a time that Congress should spend more funds on farm policy, although not likely. How do you comment about the dollars and cents that's needed, because it appears there's a lot of need?
Well, there is a lot of need, but I'll tell you, it's our job to help congressmen and senators know what it's going to take to provide national security through our food system and to keep our food system strong. So we're telling them that we need a farm bill that modernizes and reflects the true cost of doing business on the farm, that would make our Title I and crop insurance risk management tools really a risk management tool. And without those modernizations in the bill, it really isn't a true risk management tool. So we're doing our job and telling them what we need. It's their job to find the money and decide how they're going to do that. And yes, we're here to talk to them about it, but that's their job. We just know that the 2018 Farm Bill does not reflect the true cost of production.
Farmers have been hesitant to be caught in the either-or situation of whether you spend money on nutrition or whether you spend money on farm programs. Would Farm Bureau oppose moving nutrition dollars into programs?
We will not get in that debate because we support the nutrition program. We support all the titles of the Farm Bill. So that's a tough job for them to have to do, but that's their job to do it. And we think that all things are possible, and if they can, they will find a solution just like they always do, and it'll be a bipartisan solution.
What about Farm Bureau's position on potentially rolling back some of those climate-related restrictions that are in the IRA conservation funding? Is that something that's been before your board? Have you talked about that?
No, we haven't talked about that because we know that those conservation, climate-related dollars are helpful to our farmers and ranchers, and we're just glad that the IRA monies came forward because we all know that those programs have been oversubscribed to for many, many, many years, and this is going to give us the opportunity to deliver those funds to all-size farmers to be able to put those practices on the ground, and I think that's good for our soil, good for our communities, good for the economy, and good for our farmers.
So the USDA this past week projected a 401 corn reference price with soy at 926. Now they're projecting corn prices at 450 and soybean prices at 1130. Is the 18 really a safety net for producers today just considering these major crops?
Oh, it's not, and that's exactly why our farmers and ranchers at our convention move forward with asking for a broadened baseline to be able to have the true cost of production reflected in those safety nets. And that's why, you know, it wasn't an easy decision for our farmers to make because we're a very conservative organization. This last thing we want to do is ask the federal government to spend more money. But we realize that if we're going to have a safety net, it needs to be a true safety net.
I don't think there's a farmer in the country that hasn't had to face some sort of natural disaster over the past few years. And there is thought of boosting the subsidies for that supplemental area insurance products that might take away some of the Congress need for disaster assistance. Is that something Farm Bureau has considered?
We support anything to make that safety net reach more producers and be more accessible to all types of agriculture. So if that will accomplish that, we would support that. But our farmers and ranchers, whether they're big, small, or large, they deserve to have a risk management tool available to them regardless of what commodity they grow. So we're in favor of broadening the amount of commodities that are covered under risk management tools and look forward to having those discussions how we do that. New products is exactly what our rest of our farmers need to be able to take advantage of that.
There are two avenues for dairy policy now. We've got the hearings for milk pricing, and then there's also hopefully a farm bill that will come into discussion. So far, just a lot of talk. But Farm Bureau's leaned in hard on dairy policy. What's needed? What's the needed outcome here?
Yes, well, you know, those hearings are still going on, and they're collecting the farmers' voice, their stories, their issues, and their concerns. And then USDA will come out with a rule that eventually farmers would have to vote on. So we're looking forward to continuing that process and making something happen that reflects what we're experiencing today. As far as the bill, we know that there needs to be some modernization of the dairy margin coverage, and that would reflect, that modernization would reflect the true climate that our dairy underwrites. And other than that, the dairy margin coverage has worked very well for our farmers.
Sustainability is a big word now, and the 2023 Farm Bill, if it comes to be, whether it's in 23 or 24, sustainability is a word that a lot of people would like to include into policy. given the budget situation, what's the best you think we can hope for regarding a new bill and sustainability?
Well, sustainability can be defined in many, many different ways. If we want our farms to continue to operate, having a real true safety net that's been modernized and reflects real true cost of production, that will make sustainability for our farms better. If you want to talk about climate, then the monies that came into the Farm Bill, into USDA from the IRA, is going to make that available through the conservation program. If you want to talk about new programs that farmers can put on the ground, sustainability goes right along with added research and development dollars. Sustainability is really can be accomplished in the Farm Bill only if it's funded at right level and reflects the true cost of production.
What can Washington do to make sure that the person who's willing to invest in sustainable practices for farmers, that they're actually getting what they're promised, and that farmers don't get squeezed out?
I think there's been a lot of work going on in that area with the pilot projects with USDA to discover what needs to be done and how to measure it. I think measurable, being able to measure what they want to accomplish and having trust in the system and having just one measurement, not multiple measurements. I think if farmers can trust it and if they can have a delivery system through organizations like FSA that they've trusted over the years, I think we can accomplish that. Field of Market's done a lot of work in that area. So, you know, I think that we're premature in trying to figure out what's going to be accomplished in that work and the targets that we're going to set to accomplish.
President Duvall, how big is the hunger issue in America? And what do you hope for from the coalition with FMI, Feeding America, and Farm Bureau?
So what I hope from it is to show how organizations like Feeding America and FMI come together and support getting a Farm Bill passed. We all know that this is the wealthiest country on earth, and we should be ashamed that there's people in our country that's hungry today. And the nutrition program in the Farm Bill is one way to try to attempt to make sure that everyone has available nutritious food for them and their families. But on the other hand, farmers and ranchers depend on these risk management tools to continue to sustain their farm year after year after year. So having those two programs joined together at the hip in a Farm Bill that we really ought to be calling a Food and Farm Bill is very important. And we, as three organizations, unite together in calling out to Congress saying it is important that we get a Farm Bill and get it the Farm Bill done now. You know, if we look at the Farm Bill and our food system as a national security issue, and it really is. I mean, you know, just this week we saw Russia bombing ports in Ukraine. What if we were dependent on Ukraine to feed us? That we would be in a terrible position with our people facing hunger here in our own country. That should never happen in America. We are the breadbasket of the world, and with a Farm Bill and with our consumers making an investment in their food system through the Farm Bill, we can continue to sustain our farms and do all the right things. It's not that we got to do one thing. We can do multiple things at one time.
There were plenty of negative comments from the ag community after the Biden administration revised its WOTUS rule. I don't hear as much in the headlines now. Do you anticipate legal action, or where is Farm Bureau on this amended rule?
Well, one, we knew that was not going to be winning the war. We knew it was going to be winning a battle because WOTUS seems to be this ongoing battle that we continue to have between one administration to another. We did win the battle when it comes to significant nexus. The courts did say that that's not what EPA can use. But there's still some vague language in the WOTUS that we are concerned about, like relatively permanent. You know, what does that mean, and can they use that to continue their mission of having a land grab and dictating to us what we can and can't do with our land? So we are studying what has come out of the courts, and we're studying whether or not we want to go into another lawsuit. We have not made that decision yet.
Has the EPA offered to discuss or clarify that decision, or is this something that you'll have to decide through the legal system?
No, I think we continue to have negotiations with EPA on a weekly basis. So who knows what might come out of those discussions, and hopefully that's where we can find a solution. Last thing we want to do is bring on another suit. But if we have to, we will.
Over the past few days, we have seen now House Oversight and Accountability Chair James Comer asking the Secretary Vilsack for correspondence that happened between EPA and USDA regarding chlorpyrifos. What would you say about the system and the need for technology for producers and the need for a science-based decision on registrations?
Well, you know, as farmers and ranchers and as the organization that is the voice of agriculture, we base all our decisions on science-based outcomes. And we think that any rules or regulations or any rulings that are made, whether it be in our court system or in our federal government, ought to be based on science-based outcomes. And anything less than that is not acceptable to us.
So if Congress can't agree on a farm bill, then how frustrating is it also to see that ag labor likely won't see attention either?
Well, you know, both of those issues are very frustrating to us. We spend a lot of time telling Congress how critical the lack of labor on our farms are, and we're going to continue to hammer that home. We are in desperate need of a comprehensive immigration reform, and we look forward to continuing that conversation. And hopefully we can find a solution real soon. Our farmers are desperate to having a legal workforce that they can depend on.
It has been said before at Farm Bureau meetings and others that it's not just labor on the farm. It's also labor in the industry that supports agriculture, and meat processing is just one of those.
You're exactly right. It's not limited just to the farm itself. It's all up and down the supply chain. People here in our country depend on that supply chain being strong and delivering what they're wanting at the grocery store. And I think we saw the weak links that we have along that supply chain during COVID. And we are very aware of the issues that we have. And there are a lot of people doing a lot of work to prevent that from happening. Hopefully we'll never have another pandemic, but if we do, we'll be better prepared for it.
On trade, Mexico and Canada are still in violation of their agreements with USMCA. What do you hope from this administration as we continue working with our neighbors?
Well, obviously we know this in the dispute arena, and we'll be waiting on to see what happens through those hearings. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have a trade treaty, and we have ways to settle disagreements, and we expect those countries to live up to that agreement just like they expect us to live up to it. We're going to continue to push this administration hard to find a solution to make sure that our corn growers and our dairymen get treated right in this agreement.
The Biden administration is pushing this Indo-Pacific trade accord, not as much on trade as some ag groups have suggested. What's your position, or what are your thoughts about the Biden administration and that Indo-Pacific agreement?
Well, we want market access, and that's our issue, is getting market access. In any discussions or an agreement that doesn't give us more market access, then we're not happy with it.
When you get together in Salt Lake City, do you expect that your delegates might have opinions on the nation's electric grid and electric vehicles?
Well, I'm sure that our delegates are going to have an opinion on that and many, many other things. We're early in our policy development process. We will be doing our state presidents will be in here on the 1st of December to be going over all the resolutions that come in from our states, from their state conventions. And I think we'll have a lively discussion about that and many other things when we get to Salt Lake. And we look forward to that because it actually renews our policy for another year and helps us to, you know, modernize our policy each and every year because things change and they change fast in the agricultural world.
Well, in Washington, there's a legislation on renewable fuels policy to try to change some mandates. There's policy on asking Washington to use an updated model for verification of the climate benefits of renewable fuel. Where has Farm Bureau delegates, where have you stood before on renewable fuel policy, and are there particular avenues that you'd like to see get some traction on the Hill?
Well, we want to make sure that renewable fuels that are produced on the farm each and every day or continue to be a big part of our energy program here in our United States. And we want it to be recognized for the value that it brings and the value it brings to our rural communities. So anything that increases the use of renewable fuels that are produced on the farm, we're going to continue to support that and push it forward. Our farmers aren't just depending on it. They were asked to do this. And we went in this direction and made a huge commitment on our farms and our production and our infrastructure and our rural communities to produce this fuel. And we're going to continue to push and promote that in every way.
I appreciate that the resolution process is really just cranking up across the country. In 2024, when Farm Bureau delegates gather in Salt Lake City, can you anticipate maybe what some of the hot topics are going to be?
Well, I think that we'll talk, have some hot discussion about foreign land ownership. I think we always talk about dairy and what's on the home front of dairy. And I think if we get an extension in the Farm Bill, we'll still be talking about Farm Bill. But, you know, until those resolutions start coming in, I'm not really going to know what's at the top of their discussion. And one of the more important ones I left out was farm labor. I know that we'll be talking about farm labor.
President Duvall, we want to thank you for your tireless service on behalf of the agriculture industry and farmers and ranchers all across the country. You keep an awfully busy schedule, and you've seen a lot of this country over the past year. Thank you for taking time to be with us on this edition of Open Mic. And President Duvall, it is Open Mic, and you got the last word today.
Well, the last word is we live in the greatest country on earth. And we are the most productive agriculturalists in the world. And we're doing all the right things. We've got to keep doing that. And I encourage all farmers and ranchers out there to be part of our organization. Help us make sure that your voice gets heard. We're here each and every day making sure that we got their back and we're pushing up their policies forward each and every day. Hope that everyone will continue to be focused on what's important, and what's important is getting this Farm Bill done, and it's really, really urgent that we tell our congressmen and senators how critical it is that we get it done and get it done either this year or in the first quarter of next year, and do not give them a pass. We need to get this Farm Bill done.
Our thanks to Georgia Farmer and American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall, our guests this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. America's sweetest industry creates jobs and provides a sustainably produced food ingredient. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nally.